Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life, in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please. Press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, self-empowerment with Coach Nykera, author of Once Lost, But Found. Self-empowerment is getting to know yourself, being true to yourself, investing in yourself, and finding happiness inside of yourself. Join us in discussing methods of unlocking the blessings and treasures that we sometimes keep buried inside of us. I'd like to welcome Coach Nakira to the show. Welcome. Coach Nakira.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Carlton. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Hello, everyone.
Thank you. Okay, so tell us a little bit about your book first.
So good evening, everyone. I'm grateful to be here this evening. And like Carlton said, I thank the Creator for allowing me this opportunity to share with you just my book, things about me, to help elevate and empower you all. So my book, yes, is called Once Lost But Found. The book is actually about me and my life experiences and what I actually did to overcome and grow through a lot of different situations and scenarios. I shared with you guys different things that I did, different things I was exposed to, good, bad, and indifferent, that really helped me elevate and live a better life. So whereas though I went from surviving to thriving.
I heard that. I'm hearing a little noise, so if you could, is there any way you can, I don't know if you have open windows or something like that, put windows or with something like blowing or something. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
Okay. We're going to keep going.
Is that
so,
better? Okay.
That might be a little better, right? Yeah, that's a little better. Okay, so just what is self-empowerment for our, you know, listening audience and me too?
So self-empowerment, if I can say my definition of it, is when you are eager in seeking information to elevate and grow yourself, your life, your family, friends, people around you, and your mind. So basically, that'll be situations where you look for information that helps you grow. But one of the things you need to know in that process is what you know your purpose is, or what it is you're seeking. Because there's lots of information out there that can really guide you, and then there's a lot of information that can manipulate you into believing certain things that's really not what you need to know. So one of the things you need to do is, while you're seeking, is look into different ways to find information that enlightens you in what it is, those areas that you want to be empowered in. So let's say, for example, if you want to be empowered in education or just living your true best life, what that means for me is you have to do some soul searching, some self-awareness, some self-love. So becoming empowered on how it is or what it is you need to do to become self-aware, to start to self-love. One of the things you can do is look at people who may be where you're trying to be. Or maybe people who, like, you know, influence or live and who is actually integrating and implementing that way of life in which you wish, you know, you can do. And I'll give example for someone who is my mentor, like Michelle Obama. So there's many different things that she, you know, present and show that I have been really eager to learn how she do that, you know, because she appears to me to be so much self-empowered and self-aware. So, again, you can study people, you can study information, but one of the things is throughout the process as you're growing and getting this information, I would say what you really need to do is be honest with yourself. So that as you're seeking and you're honest with yourself, you know what it is and what areas it is you need to become self-empowered. For example, creating boundaries, building healthier relationships, you know, self-respect. Being able to parent better. All of these things are being self-empowered, as well as being an advocate for different things in your community that you may see or want that can help improve your community. These are just different areas in which you can become self-empowered. I'll give you a huge example of a concern that, you know, was recently brought to my attention. It bothered me. Here it is in this day and time. People are still purchasing Air Jordans, spending millions of dollars yearly. This is facts. Yearly spending over $200-400 million a year. Spending lots of food still on fast food, millions of dollars a year. But one of the things that they're not doing is investing in themselves. So from my understanding, the average person spends $14 to invest in themselves. That's the average person. So you do the math. It really does not make sense how you're spending $14 to invest in yourself to make yourself better, the average person. Yet and still, people are spending billions and billions of dollars to look a certain way. So my message today, most of it, is how are you going to invest in you to be more empowered, to be more self-aware, to grow and evolve for you? And one of the things I would say is you got to get your priorities in order. You can't try to look the fit. You should try to be the fit, meaning what you have up top, nobody can take it from you. And also remember, what you feed the brain is what you become. Thoughts are actions. So if you start thinking better, that's also an opportunity to become self-empowered. When you start thinking better, you start viewing things different. These are the types of situations that want to help you want to be in different rooms, want to put yourself where you see yourself. But until you shift the mindset, you'll still be in the same environment, physically and mentally, because you're not shifting.
So I'm going to ask a question. What is the difference between an individual who's chosen to empower themselves by through entrepreneurship, street entrepreneurship, say like selling drugs? What's the difference between that kind of empowerment and the empowerment that you are talking about?
So I would say, to a degree, there may be no difference. The only difference I can think of is that the focus is different. Because if you want to become empowered and elevating yourself in that world or arena, all you have to do, empowerment is really just getting more information to develop and grow in a specific area. Self-empowerment is to grow for self, finding information to help you elevate and grow self. So if you want to become self-empowered in that, that's what you would do. That's the difference. But I would say to that is the issue or the problem or concern for me with that is, why would you want to become self-empowered in an arena There really is no future? Like, you want to become self-empowered to grow in areas where you'll build longevity, wealth for yourself and your family. That should be the goal, to build wealth for your family. If you're trying to do things to hurt and harm your community, there's no logic in that. Like, that's not becoming self-empowered. You know, you can't really, you can get self-empowered by getting information, you know, on how to be this or how to be that in that world. But are you really becoming self-empowered where as though you're becoming self-empowered on how to be a better person?
No.
Being a better person is not being able to hurt other people in the process, nor can you really come up or monopolize on a people or your own people for that matter, right, and be being self-empowered. It, right. The two really don't go together. It doesn't make sense to become self-empowered with that, because you would want to be better. For me, that wouldn't be being better, because you're hurting people in that process. Right. So the difference is that too. One of them, you're not hurting people, you're helping people, you're empowering others, you're living by example so that others can see, okay, you doing it, I could do that too, versus keep materializing, you know, or glorifying the negative, which keep continues to bring about negative in our community. So you want to change that narrative and that trajectory of your community to be self-empowered to help people grow and elevate.
Okay.
But is that how you see it, or do you see it different?
No, but like I agree with you. It is, you can empower yourself by doing that, but that's a very narcissistic method of empowering yourself, because what you said is you hurt other people, but actually you hurt yourself too. You can go to jail, you can be injured, you can be murdered. You know, so
right.
I mean, so it's, you know, it's a temporary thing that may appear to be empowering and may feel to be empowering. But the end result is destruction, and there is no power in destruction.
Right.
That's not the power we seek anyway. In empowering you, like you said, you want to have a positive impact on people who come in contact with you. You want to surround yourself with people who have a positive impact on you also. So that's empowering. That's like I'm pulling somebody up, and then somebody's pulling me up. That's empowering. That's the scenario you're talking about. So, you know.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. I can't, you know, perpetuate destruction and say that I'm, you know, empowering myself. And, you know, when it's an ethical component to it, basically. So.
Right.
Even though it may feel powerful, it may be powerful. But, you know. We don't want to be notorious.
Exactly. Even just to add to that, it's just a message that you're sending. You know, you want to send a positive message. You want to send a message that's going to ripple effect to allow other people to see and want to do better, knowing that it's possible. But if you do it the other way, again, you'll be destructing our neighborhoods, our families, our children, just our people. And I think that's what a lot of us as a black people need to start realizing and recognizing. We need to be empowering each other so we can lift each other up, so we can be the ones who own and have, you know, the wealth, opposed to us always being the ones looked down on and don't have it. So let's change that trajectory for our future.
Right.
Let's let them see us working together. Empowering each other by doing, being better, making better choices, surrounding ourselves with positive people who really leaving an impact and legacy for us.
Right. And so I'm taking it that would include collective economics.
Yeah. Because you got to leave some funds. You got to invest and, you know, make some money to help. You know, and then also, too, make some monies to build the different things that, you know, we need in our communities, like the banks, and stop allowing even houses, stop allowing, you know, other people to come from other countries to make money off us. I just learned recently as well, not too recent, a while ago, how people from Russia and Iran, you know, just all over the world come to city of Philadelphia, purchase houses and rent them out. So this is why gentrification is constantly happening and shifting, because people are coming into our neighborhoods buying up our stuff, when if we just saw things different, thought different, we can buy up our own stuff.
Right, that's collective economics, and I think there are some organizations that are working on towards that, you know. But we need to love, and we need to raise people to believe that and practice that. And but it's hard to persuade people to do that once, you know, they get, you know, stuck in their ways. Sometimes it's hard to persuade people to see the benefit of that. But if we raise them up from the root, you know, we have a better chance. That's what I think personally, you know, in terms of working together and caring and genuinely looking out for the man next to you, your brother, your sister, you know, your uncle, your father, you know, the guy around the corner. You know, we need to, like you say, unity is, you know, like you talk, even though you're speaking about self-empowerment, your self-empowerment is something that spreads throughout your community because it touches other people in your community in a positive way, not just you. It doesn't just benefit you, it benefits you and people who come in contact with you. So that's a very excellent concept. And, you know, I would like to see that perpetuated throughout the community.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. And another thing to point on, because sometimes you got to help people relate, you know, and meet them where they are. And one of the things, I'm not sure what the age group of the audience is, one of the things, I don't listen to rap, but I was listening to the little guy, NBA Youngboy. And I heard him say in one of his raps, and I can't really remember verbatim what he said, but one of the things he mentioned was, as he was a young boy growing up, he saw the same people that he see now hustling. They was the hustlers when he was a kid. So, you know, in regards to that, it's like, how are we still, as a people, you talking about if he was a young boy, maybe 5, 6, 7, and he's still young, in his 20s or something like that. But if you mean to tell me you have the same men hustling in the same spot after 15, 20 years, that's a problem.
Right.
That's a problem. And it's like if you ain't made nothing or put nothing positive in the community, because he didn't mention that, he said hustling, man, and we all know what that probably is. He
right.
didn't say, I seen the same guys that I grew up under hustling now with blocks. They owning blocks. They owning this or they owning that. No, there. If you don't shift your mindset, you won't shift your environment. So that tells me that those same old heads that he was seeing when he was younger on the corners hustling, that he sees still to this day doing the same thing, has not shifted their mindset. Now, and if there's any callers out there, I want somebody to call in and tell me if they've witnessed that. Because it's going on in every community, not just NBA young boys, but it's going on in every community. And it's like, why, what message are we constantly sending? That this is okay, or this is how it's supposed to be. So how can we shift that trajectory, or at least work together to start empowering each other or ourselves to say, this is what I want. So what I want, these are the steps that I need to take to get there. Or this is what I want my community to start looking like. So these are the steps. This is what empowering is. You have to go out and get the information. It's not going to come to you. And one of the things I want to put out there, and I know the name of the organization, but if you're interested, you'll go do the homework and get the information. But I'm going to tell you that there is a black mortgage company. It's a mortgage loan that just came out for black borrowers offered by the nation's largest black-led mortgage company. And guess what? All you got to do is put down 1% to buy a home and get a mortgage through this company, black-owned mortgage company, nation's largest. They just came out with this because they are willing to empower and help. That's the message. They are willing to empower and help. But guess what? You got to go be empowered by going to do the research to find the information to get that. But if you sit home and twiddle your fingers and think the information is going to come to you, then you'll just be sitting there. Because that's what self-empowerment is. Seek the information and ye shall find. I forget the scripture that it says, seek and ye shall find and something to go. But the information will come to you if you go get it, you know.
Okay.
They ain't going to drop out the sky.
Right. And most of us are carrying a resource in our pockets or somewhere, right? Because we have these cell phones, which are basically computers, right? Googles, you can search around the whole world with that. So you can start right there, BlackBank, Mortgage Bank, largest black mortgage bank. Google, find out. Start working toward your goal to be a homeowner. So that's good information, yep. As you said. Self-empowerment, part of it is getting information you need to reach the goals that you want to reach, right?
And so listen to this. One of the reasons why I'm going to put this out there, one of the reasons why I'm not going to give all of the information, because we're talking about self-empowerment, right? One of the things I know that most of us who may be listening know or have learned is that when you keep giving someone all that they need, they become enabled. They don't become educated. They come to then seek you. Okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? That's not self-empowering. Because
right.
If you keep being fed the information, you never go look on your own. You want to keep going to that person to get it. So the reason, there's always a method to my madness when I do something. There's a reason why I'm not giving all the information. Because I want you, if that's what you want, if that's what you say you want, you're going to hear me and you're going to go look into it. But if I give it to you, you're going to have it. But I want you to go and get it if that's what you want, because it's available to you. Every and anything you want to grow, elevate, and become evolved and become a better you, it's available. You just got to want it. And all you got to do is think a thing, and it'll be done. So if you think it, you feel it, and you believe it, you can manifest it. But you got to first start with knowing that it can be so.
Okay, we call that believe, right? You believe that you can do something instead of believing that you can't do anything. So strong, that's self-empowering in of itself, right? If you just believe it, that's something you can do something, right?
Yeah.
That's if you don't believe you can stand up, right? You might not be able to stand up. You might not find out if you can, right? So you never know until you try. What's the saying? Oh, nothing beats a failure but a try. Just because you fell doesn't mean that you fell forever, right?
Yep.
You're not gonna.
I heard stories.
Right. I've heard plenty of stories about a lot of, like in the industry, the music industry. These guys were not doing well. These big groups, some of these big groups we heard of, but at their darkest moment, that's when they had a breakthrough. You know, Steve Harvey said he lived in a car.
Yeah, but you know what? Guess what? I was watching something, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I know people have heard of Goldman Sachs, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've learned is that most billionaires today, that's a billionaire right now as we speak, came from the gutter, came from nothing. A lot of them. And one of the ones that I'm speaking of is a man who was the CEO of Goldman Sachs for years, a black man from, I think he was from Brooklyn Projects. But one of the things is that he did that I really admire, and a lot of individuals won't probably do today, is he knew where he wanted to be, right? Because sometimes you visualize and see it. You see the end before you see the beginning, right? So what he did was knew where he wanted to be. And what he did was he went and applied for a job at the bank, at that specific bank. He didn't get it. They didn't give it to him, right? What he did was he went in on another way. He went in another way and got in the bank. So say, for instance, he went in as a cleaner.
Right.
Just to work his way in there. He went in there and did that. He worked his way up. He worked his way up because he had a goal in mind. He worked his way all the way up to the CEO. When that man said he was making so many millions of dollars in a week, in a month, it's like my mouth was like wide open. But you know what? Anybody can accomplish that if you see the end and the beginning.
Right.
Because you know what your goal is. So you're going to do what it is you need to take, even if sometimes you got to step backwards to come forward. That's just like Kanye West said years ago on his rap. I'm going to make it into a Benz out of that Datsun. So it don't really matter where you are today. It's about where you're going. And as long as you stay disciplined and focused, you can create the world that you want to see. But you got to ignore the naysayers and continue to put yourself where you see yourself. Because if you keep surrounding yourself with the people who don't have the same mentality or vision, it's going to keep you stagnated. And they'll try to talk you out of it. Why you going to go do that? That's crazy. Why you going to go do that? Why you putting yourself there? They don't even really know the mission. So you'll have people who can't relate talk you out of a dream because they can't see it. So when you get that, you better separate yourself because them people are not empowering. That's not the circle that you need to be in. So I brought that up to say, self-empowering is educating yourself and knowing what to do when, meaning making good choices, good decisions, rationalizing, thinking things through, having a plan. And that man was the CEO. I think y'all know also, too, what is it, Mark Cuban? He came from nothing. You know, it's a lot of them I can name that came from nothing, but they had a plan. That's just like, who else coming to my mind? What's his name? It's a lot of them. But a lot of them come from nothing, you know. A lot of them come from nothing. And where there's a will, there's a way. But you just got to know you don't have to worry about impressing people to get there. Because you, even, what was it, Steve Jobs, you know, he probably didn't come from much. Even the guy who owned Amazon, he didn't come from much either. You know, they all started somewhere, but they had an end in mind. They stayed with it. I mean, even if you look at, you know, what's the name of the movie, the Will Smith play in, Pursuit of Happiness?
Right.
If you keep at it, keep tugging at what you want, you're going to get your breakthrough. It only take one opportunity. That's what Oprah always say. You could get 100 doors closed in your face.
Right.
But it'll take one. You know what I mean? People, the lady who wrote, what's the movie, the Hunger, not Hunger Games. What's the dragon movies or the book?
Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings.
What's the book that has like so many, and now it's like got so many movies, and it come from a book, like all these.
Lord of the Rings.
Oh my God.
With the Hobbit.
It's something like that.
I know what you're talking about. Game of Thrones.
Like she's something. I don't think it's probably Game. It's one of them. Forget the names of the book. Harry Potter. I think it's Harry Potter.
Oh, Harry Potter. Oh yeah, Harry Potter.
The Harry Potter books. That woman was turned down. I think it's that book. That woman was turned down for her books. I think it's like 50, 60 times. Mm. Different book editors and book places kept telling her, no. If she had stopped at the 10th one and not said, I'm going to try it again. I'm going to go to this one. I'm going to go to that one. Literally, she was turned down. I want to say it was like 50 or 60 times. No lie. No exaggeration. You can look it up. She was turned down several, many, many, many times until one person said yes. Now look at her. She probably a multi-million. She ain't probably. She is. Most of all of her books, I think, became movies.
Right.
So it's like so many different scenarios that's out there readily available to you to let you know that where there's a will, there's a way, and don't give up. I can even give you one better. Denzel Washington. Denzel got the door slammed in his face a many a day, too. You ain't good. You ain't this. You ain't that. No, no. If he had stopped, we wouldn't know the Denzel that we know today. He's an amazing actor. You can't let one person determine your destiny. And if you believe in you, that's where the self-empowerment comes in. When you believe in self, you can accomplish anything. Regardless of what anybody says. Because all it takes is one person to say yes. one person. So you could go get my book to help you elevate your mind. Once Lost But Found, you can go to Coach Nakira, that's CoachNakira.com, and purchase my book now. You will not be disappointed. It will really support you and plant some seeds in you to move you to start doing what you need to do to better yourself, your life, and if you have children or family, to start moving how you need to move to model what it is they need to see. Because that's another thing. Children learn from what they see. And if they see you doing something, they're going to think it's okay. And this is why we have, again, so many individuals today, grown individuals, walking around, living lives based on childhood behaviors that they learned that's not serving them now, because it's a behavior that shouldn't even be being presented in this day and time. Mm-hmm. But they still doing it because they think it's okay. So in order to really grow and elevate your mind, you got to do research. You got to invest in yourself. You have to. You think the richest of the rich don't have a mentor? For sure. They got mentors. They got colleagues that share information to help them. What makes you different? That you don't need no, you don't have to listen to nobody. You can do it all. You can't do it by yourself. Trust me when I tell you can't do it by yourself. You always need a team. You always need to be learning from somebody. You always need to find information. And you could be one of the ones who leave legacies for information and resources for the next generation to seek you. Hey, how such and such do it? You know? Start thinking about how you can shift and change the world. Because that's what we need more of.
Okay. You want to run that by the audience again? Where to get the book?
You can go to my website, CoachNakira.com. CoachNakira.com. And you, like I said, you will not be disappointed. You will, you know, learn some things, be enlightened about some things about yourself, you know. But one of the things I can't enough is when you're going through healing, growth, self-empowerment, you got to be willing to tell yourself the truth. You have to be willing to be honest with yourself. Because if you don't be honest with yourself, you're going to stay stuck. If you don't want to move from a place of surviving to thriving, you're going to stay stagnant. Want to stay stagnant. You want to do better, you got to shift that mind. You got to shift that consciousness. It's the only way to do it. It's the only way to do it. You got to see things different, feed yourself better. Because again, what you feed yourself is what you become. So if you're feeding yourself nonsense, nonsense is what you're going to become. It's like Denzel said, if you hang around six idiots, you'll be the seventh idiot. You hang around six smart people, you'll be the seventh. You hang around six millionaires, you'll be the seventh. Because if you put yourself where you see yourself, you want to learn and grow. Because you in that circle.
Right.
But if you in the circle of destruction, that's what's going to show up.
Mm. Yeah. Right. So let's get off that hamster wheel and not get anywhere. Right? So guys like this, like you said, what the book, Young Boy, somebody, Young Boy, he said he knows those guys on the corner,
yeah.
They on the hamster wheel, they still on that same wheel, same spot, doing that same thing,
yeah,
right, never growing,
yeah.
If they didn't get old, they would still be the same age, they would still look exactly the same, if it impacted on their actual growth, but you know, since it doesn't, we know we have the age and things like that, these guys are, those guys, older doing the same thing, which is a sign that you're not growing. Especially if you're
yeah, and they mind. Negative. Then when you're not empowering yourself, your mind be lazy, and this is where early dementia. You know, somebody be like, "I don't remember. I can't remember." Well, that tells me a lot. You ain't strengthening the brain. You ain't reading. You ain't. That's why they say what they say. All the I put something in the book from a black man. They gonna pick it up. It's a sad saying, but it's the truth. I start showing them different. Yeah, I start making these people be like, oh no, they doing that now? Yeah, this us. Like Wall Street Trapper. He say Wall Street look like us now. That's his saying all the time. Wall Street look like us. Because you got to learn how to make your money work for you. That's empowerment. When you self-empowered, you start knowing how to do things to better you, your situation, your environment, where you are, where you're going. But again, it's to you to want to do it. God want to make it happen. You got to want to see it different. And you could be a part of the process. You got to learn what your purpose is. Know what you're good at. Think, you know, see what you're good at. And another thing I want to mention in the process of that, don't try to get over on people in the process. Because law of attraction and karma is real. You know, I don't want to leave that out. Like when you self-empower yourself to help uplift and empower yourself and others. Don't try to be keep coming, you know, self-empowered to hurt and harm others. Because, like, karma is really real. And what you put out there is definitely what you'll get back.
Right.
So just be mindful of that. Be careful of that. And always want to do good.
Right.
Always want to do good. You know, try to do good in the world.
Right. The self you speak of is not the selfish individual or the narcissist. It's for you to stand on your feet so that you could carry somebody on your back, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And pull somebody else up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Right. So
like and another self- thing, too, listen. Is another thing I wanted to mention. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying it's like being selfless. You know, you're not just, you know, me. You're not stuck on that note. Me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not stuck.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
Right. Not a good vibration.
That's a big one. Mm-hmm. But what I was going to add to that is another thing that, you know, in our communities that we don't do much of that is definitely needed is get therapy. You know, and when you want to become self-empowered, you may have to go get some help to support you in that process, which is getting a coach, a mentor, or going to get some therapy. And I'm going to be the first to tell you, it's nothing wrong with getting therapy. And actually, I have my own practice, therapy, Lotus Experience, that provides therapy. I take several different insurances. But I think getting some help to help you get to where you're trying to go is okay. Again, when you have a mission and a focus. You have to have a mission and a focus. I just wanted to put that out there to just make sure people understand that, you know, if they can't do it by themselves or they don't know where to start, there's help available. You just, again, got to be okay with receiving help. Be teachable.
Right.
That's one of the biggies. You got to be willing to be teachable. You know, you don't want to be like a know-it-all, or not really want to listen. You got to be teachable. Because
okay.
When you're teachable, you can soak in so much more.
Okay,
so I would say, you know.
Okay, finish your thought.
Okay.
Let's let you know we have a caller.
Oh, great.
Did you want to finish your thought?
Go ahead. You can...
Okay.
I done lost it now when you said that.
All right, I'm sorry.
But go ahead.
Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Assalamu alaikum, and blessings to everyone on the show. I was listening, and I'm going to speak for myself. So you were talking about seeking help and things like that, but what would be the remedy for someone that's, you know, a procrastinator, you know, which is a form of lying, but lying to oneself. So...
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest as an opening to, you know, motivate oneself to break that?
That is a great, great question. And thank you for that. One of the things I would say to that as a procrastinator, what procrastination does as well, is stagnate. And one of the things that a person who does that, they, again, go, it goes back to being honest with self, telling yourself the truth. You got to be able or willing to acknowledge the fact that I'm a procrastinator. You know, see, some people don't want to acknowledge that, you know, or point it out to themselves. But if you're able to tell yourself the truth and acknowledge that, that's half the battle. And then I would say in regards to that, create, you know, goals and a plan and write stuff down and set timelines, you know, and then even maybe get an accountability partner, you know, to keep yourself accountable and to, again, keep you where you say you are, you know, and then even have, you know, that accountability partner to be someone who's going to push you and challenge you. But first you got to be able to acknowledge it to say, you know what, every time I say I'm going to do something, I put it off. Or every time this, you got to be able to be honest, you know. A lot of people can't tell themselves the truth. But then again, sit it down and do that. But one of the things, I'm going to say this to you too. One thing that if you're going to be disciplined, if you say you want something and you want to go for it, create consequences, right? Because in life there's going to be consequences all the time. And one of the things I experienced when I went through self-development, right, one of the things one of my teachers said is when you don't do what you say you're going to do, give yourself a consequence that you don't, that you like, feel like I ain't going to never do that and stick to it. So one of the things was, this was a time when I think Trump was running or something like that. So she, one of the options that she gave was, if you don't get your assignment done when you say you do, or do something that you say you're going to do and it's not done, you have to give, and you could come up with the amount, but you have to give a certain amount to Trump's campaign. And I'm like, oh, hell no, I ain't giving no money to Trump. So you gotta do things to push yourself, to give yourself a consequence where you're going to say, I ain't doing that. To keep you focused and going for what you say that you want. Because it's like if you know that you don't want to give him that money, then you're going to do what you say you said you was going to do. So that's an option or strategy that you can implement to create consequences or boundaries to start holding yourself accountable. And then really just stick to it. But then you got to be clear, too, about what you say you want in regards to when you are putting yourself in that place of procrastination. It could go a lot deeper, like I said, because I'm a therapist, so it could go a lot deeper in regards to me if I was, like, say, for instance, counseling someone who said they procrastinate, then I would go back, because in therapy, most oftentimes you need to go backwards before you come forward, so I would have to find out what the mindset is, what's triggering that, where is that coming from, is it something that was a learned behavior from childhood that you're still presenting in this time that's no longer serving you. So talking about the advantages of procrastination or the disadvantages, why is that motivating you? What's motivating that to be a procrastinator? Are you benefiting from that? Are you not? What is it? So it could go, you know, there's a lot of things I can do or say with that person to help them kind of realize and recognize I'm losing more than I'm gaining. I'm wasting too much time. Or could go a whole bunch of ways. Or could really enlighten them on, I've been doing this for 30 years. From here, and it comes from this. Because a lot of people fail to realize a lot of the trauma or different things they experience or different pain they keep inflicting on themselves is patterns that come from a childhood trauma or learned behavior that they're presenting in their life today that's no longer serving them, but you still living from of that place. You still living from that place or that mentality. So, again, when you learn to shift the mentality and understand where it's coming from, you'll release the procrastination. Did that answer your question or help you?
Yeah, that's pretty thorough. So one more thing. What about those that are in a negative environment, but they seek the support from that environment, such as mothers, brothers, sisters, cousins, they don't have availability to anything outside of, you know, the norm for them as far as creating some type of positive energy or support team. You know what I mean? Like a lot of times people have things and they give it to their family and the family shuns them and, you know, they value that because that's the closest thing to them. And they really don't have the resources to reach out or don't know how to reach out. So what would you suggest for, you know, someone that's, you know, feel as though they're stuck and they have no support?
Right. So what I would say, because that's a pattern, right? Unhealthy pattern, because that can bring about shame, doubt, fear, you know, and bring about all types of different feelings and emotions that, again, keeps them in that negative place or space. So what I would say is, for one, stop sharing. That's number one. Like, you already know, because one of the things I always ask people, you got to start asking yourself. So you got to start asking yourself the right questions in those moments. So in a moment like that, you got to ask yourself, what's the advantage of what just showed up? Well, what's the disadvantage? And again, you got to be honest with yourself. Like you said, the advantage may be for you to realize and recognize these people ain't for me. Well, they don't see things how I see things. So that's the enlightenment right there. The disadvantage is you're not going to get what you need but keep sharing certain information from people who mentally probably – is not stimulated on your same level. And so they'll never see it. So what you need to do first and foremost is stop sharing or asking people who are clearly not on your level. And one of the first things I want to say is, ultimately, doing something like that, I think sometimes us as individuals know that we're not going to get the information that we need from a certain circle or space, right? But you have these expectations that somebody might know something or somebody might be willing to. So you got to release that, because expectations oftentimes hurt because a person can't live up. So one of the things, again, stop sharing for sure and go seek information from those spaces. So if you were to give me an example of something you would share, right? I would say, okay, who's doing that right now? Or have you looked into what you're trying to do, who's doing it, and who's doing it great? And then look into where they got it from, or, you know, what they read or how they got there. And then just kind of trickle through. And when you start researching and looking, one of the things that I've learned to do when I'm doing research and looking for information is when I'm reading, because I oftentimes won't go to people. I go seek it myself and get the information from the source or who's doing what I want to be doing. And then in that process, you'll find a plethora of resources and information, because people always have footnotes or another book that they got this information from, an article they got this information from. I would even say invest in, you know, it's millions and millions of magazines. So I would say invest in a magazine that's in the field that you're seeking. Start following someone who's in the field that you're seeking. You got to stop taking it to people who cannot give you what you need. You know, because, again, that will bring about the shame, the fear, the doubt, and it'll keep you stagnated because you'll start thinking, I can't do this. So you'll get them sabotaging thoughts or the woe is me, and appear to be a victim and point the finger because you're looking for information from the wrong people. So they'll lead you in this negative path, this dark place. So I would say that's where you can start, you know, like really seeking information for yourself and stop surrounding yourself with that. Because another thing too, and I can get into this on a completely deeper level because I'm also a spiritual life coach, energy is real. Right. So when you find yourself in these spaces where the energy ain't matching and you vibrating on a completely different level, immediately stop going in them spaces, because you depleting yourself. So you have to start being in spaces that's adding to and not taking from. And you being in those places where you got aunts, cousins, whoever, you know, where you're sharing things and you have these, you know, ideas and views and you want to be better, but you ain't going to get what you need from them. You got to accept people for who they are and leave it at that. You can't expect more from people who can't give it, because I think that's where you'll hurt yourself at too. So I think, you know, really doing your own research and putting yourself where you see yourself, and also going to these different trainings and what are they called, like retreats and events and, you know, so many different things. Like, these are the types of things that you'll invest in yourself. Like, I had a client just recently that he went to the Goldman Sachs event. Was it in Texas or was it, where was it? It was somewhere, the Goldman Sachs, like all these different places, financial institution or whatever you into, I'm quite sure they have an event or something you can go to. But when you go into these spaces, you meet people because you want to be around the people who's doing what you're doing or doing it better. So you want to go into these spaces and learn and connect, so that you build in a circle of people you could connect with, whereas though when you talking to them, they relate and you not sounding like you trying to sound better than or you got more than, because that's another mentality. When you speaking about something that a person can't relate to, that they looking at you or thinking you think you better than them or you bragging. I ain't bragging. I'm just talking about what I know or where I'm at. Just because you're not there don't mean I'm bragging. You just can't relate. So it's a lot of that going on, too. So you got to watch who you saying stuff to, too, because they can't relate. So did that answer your question? I mean, I could go on a tangent.
Yes. No, that's okay. Yeah, yeah. I've found that everything that you said is absolutely true. It's just, you know, it's hard sometimes because the people that you care about, you know, mm-hmm. you value their opinion. And I think it's even harder when you're around people that are family members that believe that they know you, but they don't know you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They know of you prior to how you may have used mm-hmm. to be or what they see from you. But there's, you know, everyone changes at different stages of their lives. And
exactly.
It's kind of hard for people because people try to keep you at one particular point where they know you
mm-hmm.
best, you know, like, oh, yeah, you've always been a womanizer, but, you know, you're no longer that person no more. You're looking for a wife. You're looking for other things. But
right.
they keep those things open, and after a while, you start to see yourself as what they say, and you no longer
mm-hmm.
start to see yourself as the change because, you know, you're the only change. It's almost like, you know, you're the only person that go to church now. No one else goes to church anymore. You know, they don't like
mm-hmm.
the changing you, you know, so you don't
you
get
know,
that support.
You know what that is? That's looking for external validation. And
mm-hmm.
one of the things you got to do is release that. Stop looking for external validation and stop looking for it, especially from people who ain't growing. You know, if they're not growing and they're still in the same place they was 10, 15 years ago, those are not the people you should be looking for any validation from because they
mm-hmm.
can't relate. And granted, I trust me, I understand and been there where you want to share things with people that, again, like you said, you love, you care for because you want to take them with you. But you got to release that, again, familiar thought process and learned behavior that was okay for you 10, 15 years ago. But like you said, people shift. People change. Your mindset changed. So that's no longer serving you. That mindset, that rule, that behavior that you've learned is not serving you today. It's hurting you. So you got to release that learned behavior because it
mm-hmm.
really hurts where you're trying to go. And if you don't go the opposite direction in regards to what they're offering or bringing, they're going to keep you stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know that there's limits. You got to create some boundaries. And then again, you got to really stay away. That's what I just was saying to talking to someone too. When you, again, what you feed yourself is what you become. So again, like you said, you start to think what they're saying because that's what you see in your mind. You can't feed yourself that. You got to continue to feed yourself with what you say you want and stay away from what you say you don't want. So this is why sometimes you need those mentors, you need them accountability partners, because they are reminders to help you stay aligned with what you say you want for your life. So one of the things I would tell you that I do with some clients that I work with is I would tell you to write as many learned behaviors that you're living right now that's not serving you, right, and create new rules. Create a foundation. Where are you living from right now? What's your foundation? What's motivating you in this place where you say you are right now? And then as you build from that foundation, where do you need to go to next? Who do you need to become to be this, to be that? At each level, because you got to be able to become somebody different at every stage. You can't be the who you was at 25 with where you at now. But some people's mentality is they're still at that 25. You have to become somebody different at every stage. And some people ain't ready for that because being stuck in a certain place is convenient. It's comfortable. They don't want to step outside the box. They don't want to challenge themselves because it's difficult. It's hard. So you stay over there, and I'm going to keep challenging myself. Because what's hard now, you're going to create a way where it's going to become easy. That's the goal, to start making your money work for you and work less and make more or do more. But you got to stay away from the people who are sabotagers. Like, you got to separate yourself from it. Go around, you know, here and there, or stay away for so long, and when you come back, you completely transform where they can't penetrate you. They can't infiltrate because you're too deep into what you want. You're not even going to entertain certain conversations.
Okay.
Was that helpful?
Very, very, very helpful. Very helpful. So, I came in kind of late, but what's your information to reach you again?
So my email, I have two because I have a book. I don't know if you heard me mention the book, but my book email is 2022 once lost but found at gmail.com. And then I have a website. I'm in my email, NakiraLPC@coachnakira.com. And my website is coachnakira.com.
Okay.
Go ahead.
If someone was seeking you, how was the bookings done? I mean, time wise.
Just reach out, and I can work something out. If, depending on if I'm, you know, busy, caught up, or something else is going on, you know, I'll work it out, but. In regards to even therapy or coaching, you know, we can set up a time or, you know, what have you. But different information for that is on my coachnakira.com website. Or you can just reach out to me through email and we can have a conversation. And once you reach out to me through email, I'll know you're serious. And then we can have a conversation via phone as to what your plans and goals are and how we can set something up to help you achieve that.
Is everything just individual, or could it be like a couple or a group?
Yes, I do family therapy. I do couples. I do individual. I do children. I do it all.
Okay.
Yep, I do it all. And my website for my coaching is lotusexperience.net. So that's lotusexperience.net and then coachnakira.com. So those are my two websites. But, yes, I've been doing this for over 20 years, almost 30, like a long time.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So with the service that you do, besides the information that you gave, are there examples? Do you have like a YouTube channel or anything like that that's accessible for, you know, if I wanted to share that with someone, or just, you know, some of the information that you just mentioned?
So I how can I say this? I am, because at one point for me, I'm not like a social media person. Like, I'm more of a, like, doing speaking engagements. Like, I'm a motivational speaker, so I'll do speaking engagements. I'll do different things across the city, you know, if people reach out, or do things from my, like, I create my own stage and do different things that way to get information out. I have started a Coach Nakira on Instagram. So I have a couple things on there that I've been, like, doing. I also did I started a thing called The Reveal on my own personal page on Facebook, whereas though there's lots of videos. I did it during COVID in 2020, actually. It started out for me as an assignment for school, because, like I said, I wasn't into social media like that, putting myself out there like that. And one of the things that one of my mentors challenged me to do is go on social media and put myself out there. So I created The Reveal, and they told me to do it for 22 days. So I did it for the 22 days, but guess what? People loved it so much, I did it for 6 months straight every day, and I enjoyed it. And people were able to see them first, you know, couple times I came on where I was nervous and, like, a little scared, or, you know, not willing to say. But as I seen, it was something that people needed, and it was during a time of people that people needed it. I talked about many different topics that's relevant to elevating and helping people. I brought on resources. I brought on other people who I felt can support in different ways, life insurance, financial support. I mean, all kind of stuff. And I got really, really, really great reviews from it. And I started to do it here and there after that because it was, like, a lot. But I was very consistent. Like I said, I continued to do it for 6 months straight every day. I didn't miss a day. And I've been asked to, you know, do it, where is it? So I did just create a social media on Instagram where I said I'm going to start doing it, you know, at least twice a week, not so much every day anymore, because I'm working on, you know, doing different things with my practice. I'm actually about to start doing a grief counseling group as well as a trauma-focused group at my practice. So there's a lot of different ways that I want to help and reach people, elevate and grow from by meeting them where they are. So I can't give a daily commitment to that anymore, but I loved it. Like, I had so much fun with it. I would go on there playing music, literally, like, just talking about what a song could do and having a whole session about a specific song and what that means to you, what it bring to you, I just was coming up with topics. I was having people messaging me like, you need to talk about this, and you need to do this, and you need to have this person on, and you need to do that. And it was, like, amazing, you know, the love I was getting from it. And still to this day, I'm like, when you bringing the reveal back? When it's coming back? When you doing it? When you doing it? I'm like, it's coming. Right. I'm starting. I'm slowly but surely getting it together. So
I was saying that's funny that you mentioned music, because I was just about to ask you your thoughts about the media and the entertainment. With the condition of people, you know, how it conditions them and supports some of the activity that, you know, they portray.
That's going on. It's huge. It's huge. You know, the rap or the, you know, any of it, to be quite honest, you know, any of it, good, bad, or indifferent, because, again, the song is meeting that person where they are mentally. And if they are not strong enough to separate self from the song, they'll become that. So that's what I feel is showing up. A lot of people aren't strong will or even in mind to keep the two separate. So they then become what they hear.
Do you think that that could also be true with external things that people do? For instance, you know, like women wearing hair and makeup, nails, guys with cars and the way that they dress, even though they may have a mindset of wanting to become something else, you know, and wishing to do something else. But do you think that these other sources of endearment that they seem to love have an effect on them? You know, it's like wearing booty shorts or wearing your pants down, but yet and still you want to do something with your life, but you have this external thing that you do.
Yeah, I think the dress, again, it goes back to a childhood trauma. I think it's a mask that people are covering up who they are. They willing to show up as this because I don't want people to see the real me. And I talk about that in my book. You wear these labels and materialistic things to cover up the you because you want people to see you as something different. But, like, you know, people are not who they say they are. They're not being who they say they are. You know, and if you pay attention, a person will definitely show you who they are. But because people are so weak-minded, they think that that being glorified, you know how some people deal maybe in relationships or deal with certain people, and of course you'll see the signs, but either a person think they can change them or shift them, or because of the material, what they see, that's not them. But ultimately, if this person has shown you that they are a womanizer or that they are an abuser or that they keep tearing you down verbally, mentally, or this person isn't really going for what they say. It's just the talk. You got to believe it. But so many people, again, are caught up in what they see because there's so many people that's so weak-minded and gullible and naive and want to fit and get fit in. Like, they're followers. We have very, very little leaders. Everybody's a follower. If you're connected to this or you're wearing this or you say you that, then you're a you're following. Don't nobody want to set the trajectory of standing out. They want to follow. So, yes, wearing them booty shorts, I feel like it's a mask for covering up. And then a lot of it, too, again, goes back, like I said, the childhood trauma. They may have experienced something that forced them in that place. So they're looking for something to solidify that, again, learned behavior that shouldn't be serving them, but they can't even connect the two. Or they may know, but they're afraid to say something or go seek the help. It's like somebody, if a girl, young girl, she was touched at a young age. And her family know, but they nobody do anything about it. So now she's promiscuous and wearing certain clothes to seek certain attention because that's all she knew or know. That's what she's going to do. Until she becomes self-empowered to say, I'm not doing that to myself anymore. So you was about to ask a question.
No, I was agreeing with you. I was just thinking of it in other ways as well. You know, I don't think that all the time it may be something, you know, as far as someone being mistreated sexually or abused or anything. To me, it seems like it's a deeper pattern because I'm starting to see, you know, grown women, grown men, you know, when they first started coming back, well, not coming back, started wearing their pants hanging, you know, I thought, okay, there's a bunch of stupid young boys that's doing it. And then I noticed that it wasn't just young boys doing it no more. It's guys in their 30s and 40s sagging their pants. And then I noticed that, then I noticed the same change with the women. You know, certain artists came out. You know, we had Janet Jackson, Madonna. You know, Madonna was known for the bra thing, and Janet Jackson was known for the for wearing a thong. And I watched that trend, and then I also watched the trend of the hipster pants, you know, on white women as opposed to black women. And it wasn't just children. It started to be these adults as well. So now I'm seeing you can't even distinguish between the two. You know, so I'm trying to figure how does a household that has that on both sides for that one particular child or person that's in a household where this is a, you know, this is the norm. You know, so how do you do they get the motivation, you know, when our society supports
the, That's a great question. Yeah. I think it would be difficult. It's doable, but it would be difficult once someone is set in their ways. I think some of that starts with you have to start that young where a child respects. Because at this when they get 17, 18 and you got, you know, them living in a environment where it's like a magnet pulling them in one direction and you pulling them in another direction. And you can go to the movie The Bronx Tale from a long time ago, which was a really good movie. You got, you know, the magnet is pulling them one way, you pulling them another way. But again, it goes back to respect and what certain foundations they are built from, like what's instilled in them, you know, and you have to kind of keep planting, watering those seeds. Because I feel like once that's lost, they become lost because they start to seek information and guidance externally from the outside people because that's what's glorified. But if you can't glorify what you're saying, then they're going to think that what's outside is right. So if you're saying you're not supposed to wear that, this is how you're supposed to dress. If you're not taking them in the spaces to show them this is how a woman dress and could still get a great man and not showing half her body. So you have to put them in places where the child has to be dated, not so much dated, but put on this pedestal like a little girl by her dad so that she won't settle. Because if you buying her roses and flowers from the age of 5, 4, 6, 7, and introducing her to better, then when the guy come along that's going to be willing to give her something less, she's going to know better. I deserve better than this, so I'm not going to settle for that. But when they don't know, they settle because they think that this is the way because this is what they see in the community. Oh, such and such got this. So such and such got that. Such and such wear this. So this is what I'm supposed to wear. But if you're taking them to spaces where the women look good and still look nice and showing them that it's possible and then showing them the difference, you got to show them the difference. Because telling them is one thing, but when they see in certain things in the community, you know, you gotta show them. So you gotta take them. So this is why you have to expose. You gotta travel. You gotta do things. So again, this is where the investing comes in. It. You gotta invest so you see the world, see what's going on out there. Because some people don't leave, I'm gonna say four corners, but their community. So this is all they see all the time. So in order for you to want better, do better, you got to see different, see better. So again, as parents, we got to take our children out of their box. And even if you can't take them out of the box to another state, country, or what have you, There's museums. There's stuff that you can show them. It's different ways to do it. Even, you know, a ride to, I would say, you know, one of the things that I did, you know how you can go to Martha's Vineyard, right? Go to Martha's Vineyard because I want to be with a rich hat. Martha's Vineyard ain't far. Anybody can go. Why not take a ride over there and be with a rich hat? I want to see how they eat, think, interact. So I'm going to put myself where I see myself. So those are the things that you do. You know, you see where people are, what's going on. Where can I take my child to see, you know, what's going on? Like I went a few years ago, I went and I took a girlfriend of mine, a few people with me, and took my niece to Black Girls Rock. The show that comes on TV, Black Girls Rock, the, you know, empower black women and stuff. So, you know, going, being, putting yourself in those types of situations where you're invited to stuff like that so that you can rub shoulders and talk to other women that you admire. I've seen Cecily Tyson. I've talked to her right in my face like, damn, I'm sitting two steps, I'm right here with Cecily Tyson. I'm right here with these powerful people having these conversations. You know, so it's like in certain spaces, you can't dare step in those spaces with no booty shorts and stuff on because they're going to look at you like you're crazy. But in some spaces that will accept that. But I for me personally, I don't want to be in the spaces that accept that because I'm going to always be elegant and respectful of me all the time because I feel that I could be sexy, Philly dressed. Cute, all of that. And another thing, too, is, again, a person has to not want to appease or please external. Like, you got to be willing to dress and not care what others think, how they view you, because you're covered or you're dressed modest or you're dressed nice. And then you got to not always want all of that negative attention. Again, it goes back to the self-empowerment. Like, what do you want? And then you got to stay aligned with that. But a person is really not going to, somebody who's from the community or the hood may have a difficult time knowing what they want because what they see in every day. So it goes some back hoods. To parenting. And that's a whole other topic.
Some hoods. I just want to stick that in there. Some hoods. Some hoods.
Some hoods.
Yeah, some hoods, not all hoods. Yeah, we use that word, you know.
Oh, yeah, some hoods.
Right. We got 7 minutes, so you wanna wrap this up. Anything you wanna get out to our audience? Now is the time.
All right. So I wanted to just finish with him and saying like that's another huge issue in communities is parenting or the lack thereof. And their mentality and how they uphold negative, how they uphold certain things that they see, and they're doing the things that their kids are doing. So it's like you're supposed to be grown, but you doing the things that your kids are doing, or you being in the same places that your kids are in. You know what I mean? So it's a lot to do. But again, we need a collective of people who are on like-minded, who want to see change, and who's willing to put in the work for change. You know, that's where it has to start at. But again, we can also change by modeling because also people are watching, you know, so right. You can model what you want seen and done because you don't know who's watching, you know, and then you can have those positive conversations with certain people that you may engage or encounter with who may just need that moment of positive information or feedback or what have you to stimulate their mind to think a little different. Sometimes it only take one conversation and sometimes it may just take you to plant the seed. And they may get it watered here and there throughout life, but as long as you plant the seed, it's there because the soul holds everything. Spirit holds everything. So once it's in there, it's in there. One of the things about our brain and body is we way better than the computer. Believe that. So one of the other things I just want to add is this was a really, really great, and I thank you, caller, for calling in. I didn't catch your name, though. What's your name?
It's Paris.
Paris, okay. Thank you for calling in, and you had some really, really, really great questions. But I would just like to say for people, if you would like for me to come out, speak, do whatever, again, I can be reached at Coach Nakira. Well, that's my website, CoachNakira.com. But I can also be reached at 2022 Once Lost But Found at gmail.com or Nakira LPC at CoachNakira.com. And that's Nakira, N-A-K-I-R-A, L-P-C at CoachNakira, N-A-K-I-R-A.com. And just reach out and also go on my website and purchase my book. And like I said, you will not be disappointed. And reach out for some services or refer me to someone for some services if you feel like it's a need.
Okay. So
and Carlton, thank you so much.
Yeah, I want to thank you. And caller of Paris, thanks for calling in. And you guys who are listening on the air live, and you guys are download the show. I want to thank everybody for you know, for tuning in tonight, because it was a very special night, and I hope that, you know, we touched some people tonight. Tonight's show has touched some people, maybe sparked some people,
yeah,
provoked some people into nurturing themselves, and thus nurturing the community that they live in, their families, their relationships, communities, and so forth. Who knows? The sky's the limit. The world is yours. You know what I'm saying? Not to own, but to experience and share with other people in a positive manner. So again, I want to thank you, Nakira, Coach Nakira, for you know,
so welcome,
showing up. And again, our callers and listeners, I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones. I don't know if he's listening tonight. I want to thank everybody for making this show possible. And until next week, I want to say each one reach one, each one teach one. And I want to wish everybody a safe and productive rest of your life. Until next week, y'all. Peace out.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Women Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.